Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, Houston? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham. It's Brian behind the glass, and it's a Monday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I just looked at Brian. There's a TV playing just below Brian's on ESPN. Women's basketball tournament. Well, how's your women's basketball bracket looking?
I did not do one.
I can't legally do them, so I didn't do one, but I would have if I could.
Well, lucky you.
I thought you were only on step 3 of 10 to watch women's basketball.
That was WNBA.
Ooh. Oh.
Oh, okay. So it's different for...
I call women's basketball games.
I know.
Yeah, so I mean, that's... No, it's specifically WNBA. I like women's college basketball.
I didn't realize you still did them this year.
There were a few, yeah.
Okay.
About half of them.
Okay.
About half of them. No, I like collegiate women's basketball, Brian. It's strictly WNBA.
I think you look at that kind of like the haves and the have-nots. It's as much as it is in college basketball right now in the men's, it's not nearly as great as the women's game. Like, you know that there's probably 6 teams max, but normally 4 teams that have a legit shot to win it all.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, as we've seen with the men's tournament, except for this year, but, I mean, there's plenty of teams that could win it all.
Look at this matchup. Lucy Olson and Reagan Beers going toe-to-toe. Iowa-Oklahoma.
Are those real names?
Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm watching the game. I might
Reagan
be distracted.
Beers and the girl from, I believe it's Iowa State, they are extremely talented centers.
Well,
careful,
what?
Careful.
I was trying to say they are...
strong, powerful.
I've seen the
women.
I'm blanking on her name. I've seen her play up close and personal.
Unbelievable that she is a bigger girl. Like, and she has
Audie Crooks.
Yes, she has endurance. She post moves. They are really good down low.
Yeah, she's a really good player.
Post players with some size.
Yeah, I did the double take when I saw the photo get tweeted out the other day.
Oh, they tweeted out her photo?
Yeah, like, I just, you know, it stands out amongst the average player.
It's sexist, really. I mean, they're not doing that for the men's side. That's not true.
That's not true. Dude from North Carolina State.
No. There was also, they were calling him the Pillsbury Doughboy, but he was playing a couple years ago. It wasn't the Indiana State kid that they were calling
Kareem
Abdul-Jabbar, but there was someone else that was like at Indiana State or at school like that, and that they were having a good year, and he was a little bit overweight, and they were all over him.
Pillsbury Doughboy? Doug Eater? I don't know.
I remember the Pillsbury Throwboy. That was Jared Lorenzen.
That was Jared, yeah, the hefty lefty. R.I.P., by the way, to Jared Lorenzen.
I think he was Doug Eater. No, it couldn't be this guy. This guy's skinny.
His name can't be Eater, right?
Eater.
No, this guy
was...
Right.
This guy's skinny. This is not the guy.
This guy was literally doughy.
Killer B showing off their range. How about us starting WNBA, or not even WNBA, women's
college
basketball.
You're only on step 3 for the WNBA.
Huh?
You're only on step 3 for the WNBA.
I won't watch WNBA.
Yeah.
Unless it comes to Houston, in which case, might see if they need help. For the radio, not on the floor. But, yeah, let me look at I bet you there's not many shows in Houston that started off with women's college basketball.
You don't think Baytown Baddie's talking women's hoops right now?
No. I think he's an advocate for girls in sports, though. Sincerely. I'm not taking a shot at him because he's got a daughter and all that. But, no, I don't think that they're leading off with that. No. This is the only place in Houston that you're getting women's college basketball talk to lead the show. And it's really because I'm distracted and I have ADHD. It's the only reason that it happened.
If you had to pick a team, would you?
U of H, yeah.
They're not in it.
I root for the Big 12.
Okay.
I don't know who's remaining.
Is Iowa State still in it? I would say the favorite four are UConn, South Carolina.
Sounds like the usual suspects.
Some of them. But Notre Dame.
Is Texas still in there or one seed?
They're not. They're in the SEC now, though, Brian.
And I think Texas, yeah.
They have a good player, though.
He was just talking about the favorites,
though. I remember, I can't remember her name, but they came to Houston last year when they were still in the Big 12. She can play. She was a freshman. She's kind of handled the ball. She's big.
Oh, yeah.
She's a good player. She has WNBA written
USC.
Over.
There's five.
USC. Yeah, somebody actually texted about, was it Juju Watkins, right? Yeah. That's your last name?
Juju Watkins,
Did you guys see the L Juju took this weekend with Jaden's mom? Spencer 409?
So I had it for my car wreck, one of my car wrecks. But yeah, because people were making such a big deal out of it. But yeah, it was pretty entertaining. That I have a friend of mine that she represents a lot of players. I don't know if she represents Jaden or not, but she was like trying to defend and get into everybody's mentions that showed this video.
Yeah.
Going, they're not even close. It was just that there were seats next together. They don't even know each other. It's not like that. And the media is blowing this all up. I'm like, they were having a pretty good laugh and fun early on to where, regardless of what it was, it looked like mom got right in the middle of their business.
I didn't see the mom part of it.
So it starts out after the SC game, and Jaden and his mom are in the seat, in the stands.
I saw that.
Okay, and then Juju comes down and sits down next to Jaden Daniels.
No, that's what I saw, Juju and Jaden.
Yeah, and then they were interacting and laughing, and I think they put them on the scoreboard, and they were laughing even more. And then you progress to like a little later in the game.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing you know, mom's in between them and she has got no positive emotion on her facial expressions. And she's talking to like no one in particular.
Mom has been very vocal about Jaden staying away from women.
It was Jaden's mom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And mom basically looked like perception was she shut that down real quick.
Oh, wow. This is good. I like the chances for the Commanders to win it all next year. I think I'm going to buy a ticket for the Commanders to win the Super Bowl next year. I didn't know this about Jaden's mom.
Jaden's mom is...
Emphatic, blocking.
Yes.
Yeah, but she might be blocking from that sense, but I think she's enhancing Washington's chances of winning it all. I think this is good for the Commanders.
So you're saying no distractions? Bring you down in sports?
The wrong women absolutely can.
We started off on the ally section of
You have to find the right woman. But the wrong women could absolutely derail your professional career.
Oh, I've seen that.
Absolutely.
Totally
absolutely.
Seen that.
Now, if you find the right woman, it can enhance it. That's the importance of picking wisely. But it sounds like Jaden Daniels' mom wants him to just wait until after career is over.
I think she wants him to wait until he's done playing, period.
I mean, Derek Jeter went that route-ish.
He was still hooking up.
Yeah, but he didn't have the commitment.
He was passing out gift baskets.
Sure. Yeah, limos and gift baskets were the story, right?
But I think it's the commitment that leads to the drama. Well, that's not always true.
Yeah, you can have lots of drama without commitment. Hello, Deshaun.
Yeah, how was y'all's weekend, by the way, as we go 8 minutes of
ADHD radio? Yours would be the most important weekend.
No. My weekend's not important to anybody else's. Do you have a good weekend? Softball or what?
Softball all weekend. I fought the sun, and the sun beat me.
You do look like a lobster.
And we we wanted a good barometer of where the team was versus the best teams in the area, and we...
You got smoked, huh?
Yeah.
You got smacked around
got
a little
hammered.
Bit.
Yep, sure did.
Brian, good weekend?
Yeah, it was not bad. Went to the zoo. Family.
Went to the zoo. Okay. I did not see that coming. What was your favorite? You don't strike me as the zoo type.
I've been more than I want to, but you know, it's for the kid.
What's your favorite animal? Did you see Shasta there at the zoo? The Houston Zoo?
No, this one, I mean, we go to the Houston Zoo a lot, but this one was actually a smaller zoo up in the Woodlands. It's more like it's called the Learning Zoo. It's actually in Conroe. It's near the Woodlands. But it's a smaller thing meant for smaller kids. And it was a fun time. You know, where they can get more up and close and personal with goats and cows and pigs and whatnot.
Is this like an exotic Joe situation?
No, you could definitely... If they didn't spend money on it, it could be that, but there's no tigers or anything. Like there's a little, the best thing was they had like a birdhouse, with domestic birds that you would have in your own home.
Yeah.
But you can actually walk in and they're flying all around. It was pretty cool. No tigers in this thing.
I was scrolling through Twitter. What day do y'all do the bullpen? Saturday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning, I guess it was. I'm scrolling through there and I see, ESPN 97.5, they're live, and I see Brian and I see Killa Cam. So I listened in for a couple of minutes. I didn't realize that our boy Brian over here, he does a show naked. He wears clothes, but he has nothing in front of him. No computer, no phone, no microphone cover. He's just there in all his glory.
Really?
Doing
I have
radio.
My phone, but I'm not usually, I'm not staring at it usually.
He didn't have a computer doing a show. I would be so lost.
I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah.
You guys are more affluent and efficient with using your phone than I am in terms of, like, grabbing, like, even our rundown and stuff. I need my laptop for that. I just feel more comfortable working on a laptop.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was surprising to me.
Yeah, he's just doing a show without a computer.
I did the show Thursday with Joel without a laptop. Joel's seen that up
here. Yeah, but I was on that's right. You were next to me.
Yeah.
That's right.
We were at Texas Tailgate.
Yep. I don't know if I should be impressed or if I should be...
I think it's impressive.
Insulted.
Everything I would need my laptop for, I could do on my phone. So I go with that.
I got you. My weekend was good. Thank you for asking. Houston advancing to the Sweet 16, 6 year in a row, by the way.
Just
the
great run.
Longest Sweet 16 streak now in the country after they beat Gonzaga, which Gonzaga, they shouldn't have been an 8 seed. I didn't want to gripe a whole lot last week about it, even though I probably did gripe a whole lot about it last week. Because, I mean, the path is the path, and you got to beat what's in front of you and all of that. I think Gonzaga, I will say with 100% confidence that that's a top 15 team in the country. And I think that you're even potentially top 10.
I agree with you, but I would take it a step further and say of the teams remaining in the tournament, I think the Zags could beat maybe almost half of the Sweet 16.
Okay.
You look at the fact that inside, outside, solid quality point guard, big man that can post and play all over the place, some wings that can really go and knock down a three. I thought that they were grossly underseeded compared, you know, everybody said Louisville. You watch that Gonzaga team, and they got hot at the right time of the year. That's a tough, tough, tough. I was really worried about that game for U of H.
Oh, yeah. They're certainly capable of beating Houston. And like you said, you said you could beat 12 teams that are left?
There's 16 teams left. I think they could beat at least 8.
Okay. So half of the field that's remaining. Yeah, yeah. I would say that's fine. Behanden saying they're 9 in KenPom. Like, they were 8, I think. They were 8 going into that game. They dropped to 9 after they lost it. And I get the resume thing, like their best win, Baylor, who was a 9 seed. They beat them by 40, though. St. Mary's, who was in the NCAA tournament. They didn't have any other tournament team wins on their resume. But then you look, okay, well, they lost to Kentucky in overtime. They lost to West Virginia, who should have been in the tournament in overtime. Lost a very close game to UConn. They hadn't lost a game all year and still haven't. By double digits. They lost to St. Mary's twice during the WCC, during their conference regular season. But all their losses were very close. And then if you go eye test on top of it, Ryan Nimhard leads the country in assist. Mm-hmm. Really good point guard. They have a good shooter in Hickman, although Cougars kind of took him out of the game because he wasn't making his shots, and then they were attacking him defensively. Khalif Battle is really good player.
I didn't remember him at Temple. I won't forget him at Gonzaga.
He had a huge game against us one time at Temple. He went off for like 28 points in a loss. He's a good player, and he can really defend. That was the thing that I was most impressed about.
That corner three he hit late was super impressive.
I was impressed with their four-guy Huff.
The shaggy-haired white kid that's about 6'10".
He can score on you.
In a multitude of ways,
He can score on you. He was probably better than I personally thought with my very noob eyes. And then Graham Ike. That guy is a beast. He is a beast, that guy.
Yeah, I didn't know he was as physical as he was. And then he goes and knocks down two threes from straight on. And you're like, well, if he ever develops that part of his game to be a face-up five. But overall, I mean, he basically could put anybody on his hip pocket and get in a position to score.
But Cougars able to prevail. 6 straight, Sweet 16. LJ Crier, 30-point game.
Was kind of fantastic.
Had a March moment. He had a 30-point game at Baylor, or 28-point game at Baylor. His last year there, they lost in the first round, I want to say to Creighton. And he had a 28, 30-point game in the tournament. He was massive, especially in the first half. Juwan Roberts got it going in the second half. The little left hand was there. Manuel Sharp had a couple of key buckets. They had some trouble with the pressure towards the end, which I think will help them in the long run, but made it very stressful there for the final couple of minutes.
Can I say, because obviously you know better than me, but my feeling watching this team as much as I've tried to watch them all year and then watching again the other night, Wilson's the unsung hero of that team in so many in crunch time. In crunch time, I can't tell you how many times I'm watching a game that gets single digits that's tight. Offensive rebounds, key buckets, key steals, key defensive plays. That guy, and he obviously stands out because he wears the long sleeve dry fit underneath. But this kid, every time you turn around in a key moment, he's going and elevating over the entire group of guys in the lane to get a big offensive rebound. And he just does so many little things to help that team win. He is impressive to watch.
He does a little bit of everything. He does. Yeah. He's a stat sheet filler. Great story. You know, he was started his career at Louisiana. was the, I believe they play in the Sun Belt, was the Sun Belt player, or the freshman of the year in his freshman year, wanted to play at the higher level. So he went to Texas Tech. Didn't play him. Like, couldn't find minutes. He was kind of mop-up duty, transferred to Houston. And you kind of felt like Houston was always trying to like kind of over-recruit him. And probably more talented players. Like, Mercy Miller's probably more talented than him. But Malik Wilson, winning player, always does something that helped you win. This one, he had that big offensive rebound in the putback.
Yes.
You know, he gets tons of deflections, really good rebounding guard. Like, he's a Houston Cougar type of player.
Wasn't he in on the final, along with Francis, the final block shot in the corner?
Yeah, he was defending Battle. Defending Battle, and then Battle kind of lost control, dribbled
thought,
in the corner, ran into Francis.
I thought he almost traveled.
It was pretty close.
Yeah.
Like, he was bobbling, though, so, like, the bobble always kind of confuses, like, a travel. Because you can't travel if you're bobbling the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could bobble the ball from the three-point line all the way to the basket, and it's not a travel. In order for it to be a travel, you have to have possession of the ball. And Battle clearly lost possession. Now, did he gain possession and shuffle his feet a couple of times and maybe a time too much?
I thought he did.
I thought it was definitely questionable, but you blocked the shot, using gets the loose ball, survive in advance.
And I think the other thing that we talked about, the fact that you got four guys that could score 20 points for you on any given night. The beauty of this team is normally when one of those guys steps up, it's because the other guys don't get it going early on, and that's what I noticed again the other night. Uzan, who's been really, really good for them, you know, wasn't getting it going early. And then all of a sudden, LJ got hot, and you're like, okay, here we go. And then to start the second half, when you kind of assume they're going to focus on Cryer, I mean, here comes Roberts, and Roberts runs off, 6 points in a row, where he just, you know, he kind of just started establishing his will in the paint. And that was beautiful.
Yeah, fun game. I think it should have been at minimum a Sweet 16 game, maybe an Elite Eight game. I hate that you had to play Gonzaga in the second round, but I feel a lot better about it today than I did on Friday. So
now you got a road game.
Yeah, now you got a road game. You might have two. You might have two because Lexington's only 3 hours away.
Oh, if you get.
And Big Blue Nation?
Oh, you get Kentucky.
Yeah, if they beat Tennessee. Kentucky, okay, yeah. Tennessee's the other game in that four-team tournament. In Kentucky, Big Blue Nation, 3 hours away from Lexington, they might have more fans than Purdue.
They traveled well to Milwaukee.
There was some weird scheduling like that. I mean, obviously Louisville lost to Creighton, so it didn't matter. But Louisville was playing in Lexington. I mean, the number one seed Auburn might have had to play Louisville in Kentucky in round two.
Yeah, Houston as a one seed, what was it, 3 years ago now? Something like that. They played 8-9, I can't remember Auburn's seed, either 8 or 9, in Birmingham. Houston
it's
played
crazy.
Auburn in Birmingham as a one seed playing
that.
The 8-9 game in the second round of the
like
tournament.
2 years ago,
Auburn
was
up double digits. Up double digits, I think it was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Because last year, who'd they play in the second? I can't remember. They all run together. But it wasn't last year, I don't think.
Okay.
Because it was the year with, I think it was Jairus Walker's year. So it was,
two years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't last year. All right, 713-780-ESPN. You want to talk some college hoops? You want to talk a little Cougar basketball? Now's your time to do it. 713-780-ESPN. We got lots to get to. We'll get to the Rockets a little bit later. Astros opening day is this week. What are they going to do with Cam Smith? Mailbag Monday as well. We'll get to the rest of the NCAA tournament stuff on the other side as well. 713-780-3776. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter as well at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility. Great responsibility and a lot of costs, too. Well, Ownwell is here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little off your plate, but also save you money. Everybody wants to save money. Head to ownwell.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes, and get their experts fighting for you. 86% of Ownwell's customers receive a reduction, with the average cost of average customer saving over $1,100. The deadline to protest May 15, so don't run out of time. Save money on your property tax with Ownwell. Less than 3 minutes to sign up. Start your protest today at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com.
ESPN
97.5.
You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Are you tired of this song yet? This has turned into like the college basketball theme, I've noticed.
Yeah, I think that they do it every year where they try to find like a pop music song to like coincide with all their telecasts.
I don't remember.
It's not always
pop, though.
Oh, yeah, they've done it before.
They do it every year, but, like, I remember there's on two specific occasions, it was the Black Keys as the song for the tournament, and obviously, which is, you know, rock. So it's not always pop, but they certainly do it every single year.
A Coldplay song one year?
Maybe.
But, yeah, I believe that aside from the one shining moment, they try to get one themed pop music that's a really up-and-coming song to go correlate with their telecasts.
Do you think they have the artist pay for it?
I can't
imagine. The record
they
label might be involved with CBS.
Because I bet you there's something involved.
Is there
involved.
Still CBS Records? Or
no, but I think you're onto something. There's probably a record company that's aligned with Viacom, the parent company for CBS, that they just use whatever music they tell them to.
There's got
to
be some scratch my back, I scratch yours on here.
I'm
this is the part right here. Turn it up, Brian. This is the part that they bump in and out all the time.
Yeah.
Is this a jam?
Well, to the...
Do they bump it in the stadiums for you guys when you're getting ready for the game?
No.
To the kids, it is.
I haven't noticed anyways. I don't mind. I like Lady Gaga. I think Lady Gaga is good. Now, I've heard that spot of the song, I think, way too much because I'm a little over the song.
Yeah.
I'm a little over the song.
100%.
Well, I was over it 2 weeks ago because as it started to hit the charts, my oldest daughter... Every time it comes on the radio, Dad, turn that up. And then she starts singing with it. And I'm just like, okay, I've had about enough of the whole Gaga, or whatever the heck she says.
Do you like Lady Gaga?
She's all right.
You know, I love Lady Gaga. I think she's really, really good.
She's
really,
very talented.
Very talented. And I love how she jumped off of the NRG Stadium roof that one time.
Yeah.
That was really impressive.
Avoided the drones. And
that was a good job.
Yeah.
It's a good job.
That's tough work.
You know how she got her name, Lady Gaga?
No.
The Queen. Radio Gaga.
Radio Gaga.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? The song by...
That's what inspired her stage name, Lady Gaga. She's very, very, very talented, but I'm over this song. 713-780-ESPN. The Twitch, the Houston played Texas A&M last year in the second round.
Okay.
I remember him playing that crazy overtime thriller. Shed fouled out. That was another March classic. That might have been the game of the tournament last year.
Yeah, that was a nail-biter to say the least.
A&M came back from like 11 down. Send it to OT. They hit the three at the buzzer or right at the buzzer. Send it to OT.
Didn't work out that way.
So they did the opposite of what they did
weekend. Didn't work out that way this year.
For the Aggies, no. They lose all that team, too. They're going to have to bring in a lot of players, and they will. Buzz will get
Buzz
a good talented
good
team
that.
In there. Yeah. Yeah. I saw them taking a little heat because of they retired Wade Taylor's number.
Already?
They did it during the year. They had Wade Taylor jersey retirement.
He retired in the first half of that game.
Oh,
man.
Ooh. Well, I'll tell you
like
what, late he hurt them.
Sheesh.
He pulled a couple of 30-foot threes that
he
were
did.
Unnecessary in
he
that pull, game.
He does had
that
a several lot. Of those.
He'll shoot
in
you into
game.
A game, but he'll shoot you out of it.
Correct.
Wade Taylor will.
Those were some very, very ill-timed triggers pulled on deep threes.
I am curious to see what that roster looks like next year. Todd, the show says, I've never heard this song. We listen to sports radio. Well, I guess you haven't watched a single college basketball game this year.
No kidding.
Because they bump back from break every time with that song. Every time.
Even if the bar you're at turns down the commercials, as soon as they see anybody in a basketball uniform, the audio goes back up in the bar, and that's what you're hearing for like 15 seconds.
Yeah. Song is I've heard a lot of it.
Yeah, it's literally every single break.
Every single break. Texture, was that Cryer's best shooting game as a Cougar? He's had a lot of good shooting games. It's up there. That's up there.
When
with
he gets on a heater, though, he can really – obviously Curry's the best that's ever done it when he gets really, really hot, and Kobe's right there. But I like the fact that they started to obviously get him the ball when he made the first two threes, and he just for the pull-ups, the 1 foot, the 1 foot off balance shots, everything that was in his bag was going in the basket. That was fun to watch.
He's gotten much better off the dribble this year than last year. He's always had that. He's had some better shooting games. I'm looking through his game log here.
You think that because I think that to a certain degree when he knew that he wasn't going to be an NBA type prospect last year, he came back. Do you think that now his stock is up to where he's a legit NBA prospect?
He's pretty small.
Yeah. Because he's going to play the two for
wherever
he goes.
I don't think he's a point guard professionally. 6'1".
Yeah, because they're going to rely on him to score in the league when most twos are 6'4".
At least.
Yeah, that's a tough ask.
6'4 would be even a little small.
Jalen's 6'4", but Jalen can jump through the roof. So like if you're 6'4", you better be pretty elite athlete. Yeah. I think he'll make tons of money.
I think Uzan might end up coming back now because unless he gets hot here at the finish of the tournament.
Uzan and Tugler will have a decision. They'll have decisions to make because I've seen them kind of late first, early second.
Tugler is getting a lot of love.
I like Tugler, man.
Tugler's really good.
Yeah, it feels like that guy's arms go down to the floor.
Oh, my goodness,
unbelievable wingspan.
7'5" wingspan.
Unbelievable.
7-5 Wingspan. What'd you think of that flagrant foul?
I was just going to ask you about that. But to me, the only thing that I could think of is where they could call it a flagrant was the unnecessary part because of the fact that he didn't wait to get lower before, or, you know, before he established like he was setting the pick. It was on the dead run and just turned, stopped, and kind of ran into him. But I didn't think it was a flagrant.
I didn't think it was a flagrant either. Like, I understand that I have cougar-colored goggles on, so, like, I'm not the most objective there. But those dudes were fighting for positioning every single trip down the floor.
They were letting him play, and it was physical.
Every trip down the floor, they're fighting for positioning. And Tugler, like, is that a foul? Probably a foul. Like, you know, a little forearm shiver. But it was below the shoulders. Yeah. I was stunned. I shouldn't say stunned, because nothing surprises me when the flagrant one, flagrant two college rule. I think it's such a stupid rule how they officiate it. Like, dudes are like the BYU kid that got ejected. Like,
for the groin kick below the belt.
Yeah, so dumb.
That was pretty questionable to toss.
They talked about during the broadcast multiple times, going to what you said, Jeremy, about the rule being dumb. It's like they had no choice
because if they rule it to be not an accident.
I mean, or like, if they can't say it's definitely not intentional, they have to kick him out.
You know, same thing with JT Toppin.
How can you?
Well, that was that game at U of H.
How can you for sure 100% tell intent?
I know.
which leads to a lot of bad ejections.
That's the biggest thing to me was they were letting him play. There was a ton of jockeying for position and physicality throughout that game. And now all of a sudden you're going to call that and turn that into a flagrant. I thought that was questionable at best.
I did too. But the way, like Brian said, the way that the rule is written, they kind of screw the officials there. All right. They put the officials in a bad spot.
But if we're going to say that, the way the traveling rule is written, there were a couple of games this weekend where if you go by the letter of the law on the gather in terms of what's a travel and what's not to travel, there were a couple of key plays where you could have and should have called travel. Maryland is one of them.
You talking about this play right here, the one that happened yesterday?
To keep its season alive, Gillespie. From the out of bounds to the freshman queen who's driving, floats it. Oh! Maryland on the right side of a buzzer beater with life into the Sweet 16.
Grade the call.
Five.
Oh, that's terrible. It was a 10 out of 10. That was a great call. It's Lisa terrible. Byington did a great job. I love
She's
women play-by-play call TV broadcasters. I know.
I'm saying for the listeners who don't know, she is the Bucks TV announcer.
She knocked it out of the park. I can't believe that you gave it a 5. That's
fine. That's ridiculous. I wouldn't have gone 10.
10 out of 10. It's a
7
10.
And a half.
It's a 10.
Too much screaming right off the jump.
I mean, Gus Johnson.
That's an exciting moment.
A lot of male broadcasters scream. Gus Johnson's made a career of it.
I gave it a 10. I want to be remember Lisa Byington's call. I gave it a 10.
I gave it a 5.
Blankers gave it a 5.
Yep.
Jeremy's the white knight.
And it wasn't just her call. It was the total call between her and who she was working with.
Did they step on her toes a little bit?
They were both screaming at the same
time. I saw a tweet that said, it's too bad that the only buzzer beater got called by an art teacher. Now, you can't tweet that.
We're not going to read
those kind of tweets on the Killer Bees. Come on, man. You can't tweet that kind of stuff. But that's the play you're talking about.
There was multiples. Was it the Florida-UConn game? There might have been. There was one other game where I knew that I saw three steps, and maybe the Michigan game where
Michigan
I was like
and A&M?
Michigan and A&M. I thought there was one other one where I was like, "Ooh boy, by the letter of the law, that's a travel." I understand at that point in the game they're probably going to let that slide, but that's tough.
You have the Gene Steratore with the explanation. Here was it. I don't think it should have been a travel for what it's worth. I'm going to put myself on the record right now. I did not want that to be a traveling violation.
I didn't want it to be.
I don't think it should have been. I don't think it should have been.
I mean, again, if you go by the letter of the law, where the gather was, where his plant foot was when he started gathering, you could see that could be called a travel.
So letter of the law, you're on the travel side?
I wouldn't have called it, and I'm glad they didn't, but I could see where if that is the exact letter of the law, they would have every right to call
it. Did you watch it live?
I did.
Did you even think of travel live?
Not even.
I didn't either.
I did not.
It didn't even register in my mind, and I saw people talking about it afterwards. Here is Gene Steratore on with the Inside the College Basketball guys afterwards. He didn't think it should have been a travel.
Look, by rule, the dribble doesn't end until there's firm possession with one hand locked or more times than not with two hands. So we've got to look to see when the dribble ends. Derrick Queen makes the turn around the loop. At that point, when he brings it back up. We don't know if that's fully possessed. If he bobbles that at that point, he could continue to bobble that basketball all the way to the hoop without a travel. So you've got to wait until you can define firm possession. Mm. Now the dribble has ended. As I said, most times in not, it's when both hands come together. You can see when Derrick Queen has both hands together, one foot hits, next foot, great shot, great ending. To me, it just really doesn't jump off the screen as anything big.
There you go. Steratore's on the side of no travel.
B-ball breakdown, who does a lot of analyzing.
You go in Steratore or B-ball breakdown?
But I'm just saying, by rule, they said he gathers the ball with his right foot down, which is the pivot foot, lifts it up, and puts it back down. So by rule, that's a travel. But it happens so often on drives to the basket, and with that speed, no one calls it or bats an eye.
Okay, so you got an argument between B-ball breakdown and Gene Steratore. The fact that they're arguing about it, err on the side of no call. Like, to me, if you ever have two, like, very different opinions, or you have a close opinion, or it's very, very bang-bang, guilty till proven innocent is always my – actually, I got that backwards. Innocent until proven guilty. The same thing with the travel. Innocent till proven guilty. It's got to be egregious for it to be a travel, in my opinion. I think the NBA undercalls their travels. I think college basketball overcalls their travels. And the fact that this one didn't get called in a college basketball game, I'm totally here for it.
Especially with the – I mean, the whole adage that people believe in of let the players decide the game in the final 10 seconds or whatever it is at the end of a game, you let the players decide that game right there, and he made a heck of a shot.
Yeah, he did. Derrick Queen. You see where he was sitting after the game?
Yes.
Like, how much do you love your coach or whatever? He's like, we love him. He pays us our money. Queen was down to Maryland and Houston, by the way.
Was that right?
Yeah, his final two schools were Maryland and Houston.
And they're saying he's one and done?
Yeah, he's one and done. He's a lotto pick. But he's from Baltimore, so he stayed home.
Well, he made sure of that. Did you hear?
Yeah.
Because the coach first said when they asked him about, you know, what was said in the huddle, and he said, just give me the MF and ball. So we did.
Love it. I love those kind of guys. Yeah, and then they asked him, what gives you that much confidence? I'm from Baltimore.
Yep.
I bet you he's watched The Wire.
You think he's too young to watch The Wire, though? He's like 19.
No. I think they show it to middle schoolers in Baltimore.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. They probably do.
They do. They feed them crab cakes for lunch and then show them The Wire for recess, whenever it's cold outside. No, yeah, he was down to Maryland and Houston. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, love watching the Cougs play this weekend. I think from what I have observed, they are head and shoulders better than any team left in the tournament. I don't think Purdue is going to stand a chance against them. I think Purdue is kind of overrated anyway. They got their point guard, and that's about it. And Joel, Wisconsin, man, they just,
tough,
man, they couldn't hit the threes. And I've been following that team all year. I'm the guy that talks to you about Wisconsin all the time. I like Greg Gard, but you're right. They weren't going to make it to the second weekend. And one last thing. You know, we've heard comments about this tournament this year kind of being boring. I think Arkansas is the only double-digit seed left in the Sweet 16. I think it's probably because of the portal and the UIL. It's so easy to move, and you can, you know, get good players on 10 teams or less around the country where it's so easy to just get up and move. I think maybe this is going to be what we're going to see going forward. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on why the tournament hasn't had any buzzer beaters or hasn't had a whole lot of close games. Talk to you later.
Appreciate the call, Chris. I think sometimes chalk can be fun too. I think that from the standpoint of, to answer the question, in my opinion, why you don't have more of the Cinderella stories from back to St. Joe's to some of the ones we've seen recently, I think it's because of NIL. I think it's because of NIL and the transfer portal. And I think that when you see coaches moving, but you see all these players free to move, any university that's playing, you know, at a decent level of Division I basketball, when they see, you know, some of the smaller schools or the lesser than schools that have a player or two that can play, they're going to pounce. They're going to go get them. And I think that that kind of lends itself in part. I'm not saying it's the only reason, but I would think that that has something to do with it, because I think that has so much to do with everything in the landscape of college basketball.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree, but I don't think you can take a one-year sample and make any sort of conclusions. Like,
kid from Drake is really good, and he stayed with his coach
yeah.
and played at a higher level and played really well. Is it Stints or Sturts.
Yeah. He's actually entering the portal now that his coach's on the way to Iowa.
There you go.
But I think that the notion is a good one, because these mid-major guys that are really good will be taking the next step. They will capitalize on their value production, make money, because there is more money at a Power Four than there is, you know, in these mid-majors. So it probably will, you know, over the course of time be like this, I think. But I would just be very hesitant to draw conclusions after one NCAA tournament.
Sure.
Like it's a one game elimination tournament, and next year could be the complete opposite. Next year maybe you have, you know, five teams from these mid majors that are able to make the Sweet 16. Like New Mexico had a chance. They almost upset Michigan State yesterday. So like that changes the conversation a bit. Memphis, Colorado State played in the first round. Colorado State was a shot away from making it into the Sweet 16. Yeah. So I would pump the brakes on those type of conclusions after one tournament. But would I be shocked if over this 5-year period, if it's very similar to this, because only four conferences have teams in the Sweet 16s? It wouldn't shock me, but let's give it 5 years instead of one.
I also think that was it the second year that the Houston hosted the Final Four? Fans are, you can complain about it if you want, but from a fan's perspective, you really want the bigger teams to advance for the best matchups as it gets later in the tournament. You remember the year that we had Drake and VCU? And
no, it was Butler and VCU.
Or Butler and VCU.
And then the other one was North Carolina, UConn.
Yeah, and everybody like was like, well, the semifinal game is going to suck, and hopefully the finals. Yeah, and hopefully the final was great, and it was. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you know what? You bitch about it on either side of the equation, but at the end of the day, if you get the top seeds all lining up for the final 8 games of the year, or in this case, for 16 games a year, that's money for everyone.
Yeah, the matchups that you have in the Sweet 16 are stupid. Like in the South region, you have Auburn, Michigan. That's a
good
sexy
one.
Matchup. Michigan State, Ole Miss, sexy. East region, Duke, Arizona. Sexy.
Pretty good, because Arizona's getting hot.
Alabama, BYU, sexy. Yep. Midwest region, Houston, Purdue, Tennessee, yep. Kentucky, sexy. And then the West region, you have Florida, Maryland, Crab 5, Texas Tech, Arkansas. Like, even though Arkansas is a double-digit seed, they're Arkansas. They're coached by John Calipari.
And they've got a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah. I guess I get people want to see the 15 seeds. They want to see the Magic run. They want to see Dunk City from Florida Gulf Coast.
They want to see the highlights of it. They don't want to watch them in the whole game, though.
And that's my point. Like, we say we want this, but then when it gets to that second weekend and they get blown out by 30 by the powerhouse that gets to face them eventually, we're saying that game's terrible. So I actually think we kind of got the best case scenario. We got a few, you know, double digit seeds with Drake and Colorado State. We got a few of those moments, but then when we get to the best games of the year, they're supposed to be the best weekend of the year for college basketball, we're getting the best teams versus the best teams.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's
this
exactly
is to me the best case scenario.
And if you get like an Iowa State, if Iowa State's full strength and healthy, you would hope that they would win in advance. But you knew that they were going to probably fall well short of where they could have gone because they were missing one of their best players. And so, you know, you kind of move on from that. And you say, hey, from an Arkansas perspective, that was a hell of a run. But we had some close games. First day, no. But over the first weekend, you could say there were still some really good, entertaining games to watch, no matter who the seeds were.
Oh, I thought there were some good games, yeah. They didn't have the buzzer beaters except for Queens. But, right. Yes, it was. I thought it was fine first two rounds. SEC has 7 of the Sweet 16 teams. Only 4 conferences are represented, and kind of only 3 conferences. SEC has 7. Big Ten has 5. Big 12 has 3. And ACC has 1 with Duke. Duke's stupid good. Like they have
really
3
are.
Lottery picks. They have Cooper Flagg, who might be the best college freshman in a while. Like he's really stinking good.
Since the brow?
I don't know if I would go that far. Because you could even make a case that Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey might be better than him. But they didn't even make the tournament.
That's what I say, not right now, I would
I don't
think.
Know, man. I like Dylan Harper's game a lot. I would agree with Bailey. But Flagg is like super
Bailey's
polished.
Really raw. Yeah, and
Bailey is raw.
Yeah, and Harper's extremely skilled.
I love Harper.
And he plays with the ball in his hands a lot, where he does a lot of things that are impactful.
I'm hoping he's a Rocket.
Maybe.
Somehow, some way.
But I think Cooper Flagg, when you have him going up against the USA team and all the USA guys are already talking about it, you know that this kid is really polished coming out, even after 1 year.
Yeah, he's a lot closer to his ceiling than the other two guys. I don't know if I'd go as far to the brow, though, as best freshman. I'd have to see a list.
Best freshman ever would be Purvis Ellison,
yeah,
Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, we're going back.
No, I'm going because you talk about the one-and-dones that were the most impactful.
Anthony Davis is near the top
Anthony
of that
Davis,
list.
Like, I was going
to
say,
we knew
they all
going
won
into
national
that tournament,
championships.
Kentucky was going to win the title. I mean, it was a foregone – I mean, at least in my opinion, it was a foregone conclusion. And not to
You're
say –
You're so smart, Brian.
But what, they were still loaded, that team.
Yeah, no, and it wasn't just him. They had a lot of other young players that were dynamite as well. But it feels like Cooper Flagg is kind of in that group where – not that Duke is a foregone conclusion to win it, but you feel like Cooper Flagg could be an Anthony Davis-type player to carry a young team to a national title.
They're loaded, though. Like, he's not the only player on that team.
That's right. And they could have had the kid that they played against, Roach. If Roach finishes his career at Duke, they could have been even more talented this season. He transferred to Baylor.
Yeah, he might. That might have been mutual, though.
Oh, I think he knew what was coming with Knipple and some of the guys coming in.
He probably would have seen a whole lot of minutes.
But I'm
that
saying
team.
That would be even a more talented team they could have had.
I like their roster build, though, because they have those three talented freshmen that are all probably lotto picks, and Flagg will probably be pick number one.
You don't think Knipple's coming out?
I do.
After 1 year?
I've seen him projected to go in the lotto.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's a lotto pick. He's got to come out.
If you are, then I didn't think that he would be considered a lottery pick. I think he's just a really, really solid guy that a lot of NBA guys are looking for more than that right off the jump. He's talented. He's from Wisconsin. And a lot of my buddies back home were talking about, hey, forget all the kids in Milwaukee. You need to see this kid last year. And I was like, come on, man, from where he's playing from? And then you watch him.
No blame, man.
The Athletic's mock draft has him going sixth.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, he's getting first round, like, top 10 buzz.
I didn't realize he was that highly rated.
And then you had their big man. I don't know how to pronounce it. The 7'2 guy, the freshman.
Oh, yeah,
the giant.
That's a shot blocker and everything.
He's
projected
to go 14. So they have three freshman lotto guys. And then what I thought Shire did really well was that they surrounded them with a lot of really good college basketball veterans. So, like, they're not – they are young, but they have some role players that are fifth-year seniors. Sion James that transferred from Tulane. That guy's, like, he's probably 28 years old, like, around a couple of freshmen.
But the two-guard that led them in scoring
– Proctor.
Proctor. He was hurt a lot, but he was a guy that a lot of people consider to be an NBA prospect when he came to Duke. So I would assume he's going to be a pick.
And he might be fringy.
Okay.
He might be fringy, but he's, again, a veteran college basketball player around a bunch of freshmen. Like, he built that roster well. Texture with so many ifs surrounding March Madness, I thought he was talking about Justin Herbert. Why is Justin Herbert catching strays? Do you think that the NIL has something to do with the lack of a true Cinderella this year and going forward? I don't want to look at a one-year sample. But if this is the same way for the next 5 years, I absolutely think
that was my answer even for this year, that I think it could have affected why we didn't have more Cinderella teams with talent.
Power teams can reload way quicker than they used to be able to.
I mean, you look at some of the stories this year. St. John's was who they were because Patino just went into the portal and said, I'm not looking for high school kids. I'm looking to turn this thing around as quick as possible. And he did. And there's many more like that in this tournament where get a new coach, they go right to the portal. Boom. It's half the time.
Yeah, I think it does help for sure. Clemson, North Carolina, Louisville, and St. John's, huge disappointments. Best college player of all time is Big Dog Robinson at Purdue. Was National Player of the Year. His son's on the Purdue team. He has a different last name, though. He took his mom's last name. But Glenn Robinson's son is one of the backup guards at Purdue. But he doesn't have the Robinson name.
Yeah, Big Dog had a hell of a career.
He was the Player of the Year in 94?
I think he was very disappointing as a Buck.
Yeah, first overall pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Another disappointment yesterday, Rockets losing to a jokerless Denver team. Let's discuss. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right now I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Look, a lot of things going on in your life right now. Taxes are due, but if you're looking to do something that's a game changer, especially if you're getting a refund, I would consider talking to Doc Linville and his staff about something if you're losing your hair in particular that he can help with. He can do so many different things to help you right here in the Houston Medical Center. He can do plastic surgeries. He can do Botox. He can do all different kinds of things to really spot treatments, things that can help your life on a daily basis. But for me, I sat down and had a consultation with Doc and his staff. They explained the NeoGraft procedure and PRP treatments, and it was a game changer for me because I was losing my hair in front. My forehead had become an 8-head, and I didn't think there was anything I could do about it except for eventually shave it all off. Doc and his staff sat down, showed me pictures, told me exactly what was going to be done, explained the procedures, and I was in. I was sold. I did it, and I'm glad I did because right off the top, I'll tell you the pro tip. You're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how much hair you lose in other places, whether it be your hairline or the bald spot up on top and back or other areas. The big thing that he told me from doing that is I'm going to take some of those follicles, and it's like replanting and resodding your lawn. I'm going to take them from where they're never going to go away and put them where they've already gone, and I'm going to make a difference for you. And then the PRP treatments are basically like fertilizing your lawn. When you get to the point of PRP, you have still have lawn grass on your lawn, but it's not the thick, lush lawn that you used to have. The PRP treatments kind of help you get to that point as well. And you listening to me want to talk to Doc about what I'm telling you about, you get that consultation like I had for free. People off the street pay $150. You listen to ESPN 97.5 and you want to talk to Doc, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com. You'll get a free consultation. You get the same treatment I got. Ask questions, get answers, and see if it's something you might consider. No money out of pocket, signing on the dotted line, or commitment to be made. Just you getting information about what could be a game-changing experience for you in your life. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Disappointing one for the Rockets yesterday. NCAA tournament going on, but the NBA doesn't stop. NBA doesn't sleep. Long winning streak comes to an end. I'm willing to give the Rockets a benefit of the doubt because they had a long winning streak before losing. But you think home game, no joker for the Nuggets, you'd be able to win that one. They lose by five, kind of slept walk to the first. That third quarter, too, was a disaster. Oh. Made it a game in the fourth, but a little too late, Blinkers.
Yeah, no, a lot of what you said I echo, and the fact that without the joker, in a stretch where you know it's going to get considerably harder for you in your last 10, 11 games, at home, this is one that you were supposed to win. You were supposed to go get this one and take care of business to help to solidify being, you know, as high as a two seed. You continue to do the same things over and over again. I want to believe that this team, as much as we said, hey, this is a great experience for them, no matter what happens, as long as they get a true series in the first round and they don't get wiped off the floor, this is going to be so good for all the players involved. This is one where it solidifies to me that they're more of a, even if they're the two seed, to me, they're a pretender more than a contender because the same things keep happening. The missed free throws is just, it's excruciating to watch for me because it's like, these are still NBA players, and I know guys struggle from time to time, but as a team, they continue to just shoot themselves in the foot by not taking the free ones that they're given. And I think that as much as I wanted more of a pecking order established for like who your go-to guys are, I think your go-to guys, as much as I see your side of the Jalen Green argument that he finally did something that I wanted him to do, he wasn't shooting it well from the field, but he went to the basket, he drew fouls, he got to the free throw line, found a way to get 30 points.
Five assists, no turnovers,
yeah,
too.
So I'm not going to bash Jalen in this one in that regard. But down the stretch, Dylan Brooks was hitting everything. I mean, Dylan Brooks continues to be, I think, your best three-point shooter, and he's very efficient in the way he does it. And between Fred and Jalen, they were so focused on getting their shots off, trying to be that guy, that I kind of think they froze out guys that were making shots that could have helped them more. But the free throw shooting, to me, is a huge problem. And execution down the stretch, a big problem. And for a team that's supposed to have three really, really good on-ball defenders, you let Murray absolutely go nuts in the third quarter.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that would happen with the size and length that you have
Tari,
on the perimeter.
Brooks, Amen. I mean, you've got three guys. Yeah, you could throw four. You're right. Four different guys in a rotation if you wanted to say, especially without Joker. Yeah, I know they got some other pieces. They're not going to go off the way Murray's capable of going off. So you might as well just say, hey, I'm going to take him away. Yeah. Beat me with the rest of you.
Yeah, I think that the Murray thing was the most frustrating for me. Like, I understand the bad shooting nights are going to happen. Like, that's the nature of the business, so I can live with that every now and then. Now, you can talk about it in the totality. Like, the Rockets aren't a good shooting team. That's a limitation of theirs. Yeah, that's fair. Looking at it isolated in one game, like, I don't put a whole lot of, you know, I guess, value stop, in shooting yeah. every single one singular game. Now, long period of time, I will. The defense, though, when you allow a guy like that to go off for 30, and I know he's very good. Very good. Like, I'm not trying to demean
Jamal
Murray.
Three in the first half?
He's really, really good. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't have a huge
and
first half.
He had
half.
17 in the third quarter.
With your defense and the talent that you have defensively, I don't think you should have the best scoring guards in the league going off for 40 against you. So that was disappointing. Free throw shooting, you missed 12 free throws. Like, hey, bad shooting night, but they are free throws. Amen Thompson, 0 for 4, the biggest. He was the worst shooting the free throws yesterday. I'm willing to give them one because they won a bunch in a row, but you just hope that this isn't the trend. Like, you hope that you can still rebound here. Is it Atlanta that you have tomorrow? Like, bounce back, get back on the winning ways. You'd won 9 in a row against mostly bad competition, yes, though. But I'll give you one. I'll give you one. Or you play 82 games. I'm not going to judge you based on one game. But that was not pretty. Inside the Toyota
Center. No, not at all. And I think that you have very limited time. They, you know, I think Ime keeps talking about the fact we're going to learn from this. Hey, the positive is that, you know, with everything of all the mistakes that we made to shoot ourselves in the foot, we had a chance to win it. Yeah, but the Joker didn't play.
Yeah.
Okay? So you do have to kind of handle your business now in the final 10 games. I think it's 4 at home, 6 on the road.
It's, you got some tough competition.
So, yeah, against much better teams. Too. Yes. So you got a Laker team that now is going to have LeBron back with Luka.
LeBron.
They did lose last night, but, with LeBron's first game back. But they're looking for the same thing you are. You got so many teams bunched up right there trying to get 2 through 5 that you got to start playing your best basketball, getting ready for the playoffs.
The Hive, they have some questions about the Rockets, so we'll talk about it a little bit more. Your questions as well about the Rockets and what you thought of them over the weekend. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what month it is, right? It's March. Just a few days left in March, though. Spring. And it's already here. We know that spring is already here. And it's time for spring savings at Monument Chevrolet. Get over to the dealership, 225 and Beltway 8. Check out their massive inventory. Inventory so big that when you go out to Monument Chevrolet, you feel like you're in a suburban town, quite frankly. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. Transparent, no hassle pricing, and get your car shopping done fast. That's what I like to hear. Employee pricing going on right now as well with their Silverado 1500s. Monument Chevrolet, they've been in the business for over 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families keep coming back because they trust the fine people at Monument Chevrolet. Great culture at Monument, family feel, friendly atmosphere. They hire good people, they hire great people, so they can continue on with that continuity of great culture. Get a fair deal, a fast, easy transaction without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. That's the worst part of car buying, is having to weigh one deal against another deal and negotiating with the salesman and wondering if they're screwing you and all that. You don't have to worry about that at Monument Chevrolet. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it as well. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com, or better yet, just go out to the dealership, visit them in person. You're going to love that you did it. 225 Beltway 8, Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scott's Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.